Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear Blog Talk Radio Program. This is Susan Laris and Dan's talking to you live on Easter 2013. And what I'm about to do is replay what is quite a brief program, about 30 minutes long, from Easter 2011. And first, let me welcome everyone here today, whether you're listening on Easter or another day. Welcome, and thank you for joining me in what I hope will be a time of peaceful reflection in a way that crosses spiritual boundaries. And I will tell you the reason why I'm here with you today, as I had not really planned to be here this afternoon, is that I found myself listening to this program from a time when the Frontier Beyond Fear was still very young, 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. And it really touched my heart listening to this show. And I felt that I must have been very connected that day. And it's sometimes difficult to see that in oneself, although in some ways it's easier to see it in oneself because you sit and listen to something and you think, where are those words coming from? And I think if you listen to this show, you will see that there is some very gentle guidance being shared. And I do go through several verses of the Bible that are very love-based, and there is a very peaceful spirit being reflected in the way that I talk about these verses today. So I do want to let people know that I will be in the chat room during the show today, should anyone want to join in the chat room. It's kind of a rare experience that I can actually be listening to a show and be in the chat, because usually I'm talking and can't do that as well. So if you do decide to come into the chat, if you're listening to the live show, I'll be sitting there with you, reflecting with the rest of you on these verses, and we'll see, you know, what additional richness we can derive from this discussion just by sharing this time together. So thank you so much for being here, and without further delay, what I'm going to do is just replay a show from Easter 2011, and then I will probably come back in for a few minutes afterwards to talk with you. Thank you again.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear radio program. I am Susan Laris and Dans, and today, in honor of the Easter holiday, I have chosen to do a rather reflective program where we will talk about some things that will help us to find common ground. I know on this show I ask a lot of questions. We have a diversity of guests presenting all kinds of alternative viewpoints, and often we ask more questions than provide definitive answers. And today, what I'd like to do is focus on those things
that at least many of us can agree on with regards to love and with regards to the transformation that is possible in the lives of each and every one of us. Many of us have different ways of describing the path to that transformation, but the transformation exists all the same, and love is at the center of all of it. And so I want to start this program today by reading the love chapter from the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. I've focused on this chapter before. It's been some time since we've done that, and I feel that this is how I would like to spend this Easter afternoon, focusing on what these words truly have to say about unconditional love, these words that can speak to so many of our hearts, no matter what our spiritual path, no matter where we are on that path, no matter how much doubt we may have or how many questions or how much certainty we have in what we believe, I believe that these words have some very powerful things to say to us today. I do have an open chat room today, should anyone choose to come in. We have no guests on the show today. I will run the show as long as it makes sense, but we're just going to talk about some of these verses. And so I want to start with reading 1 Corinthians 13, and I'd like those who are listening to really reflect upon these words and think about what they have to say about the power of love and how it can have a very real influence in each of our lives. And again, no matter where we are on our spiritual paths, no matter how much we're hurting, no matter how much we're doubting, even if we're angry at the universe, at God, however we want to call it, these words can help us to find shelter from the storm. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now I want to reflect upon what I feel these words have to say to my spirit. And I hope that everyone who has been here listening will reflect upon what they mean to you. To me, this is describing unconditional love. This is a love that does not place any requirements on receiving it. And I think that is so very important in discussing what is the true nature of divine love, of unconditional love. And as this show is also about transformation today, these words have a great deal to say about that as well. When love never fails, love uplifts us. Love takes us to a place greater than the reality that we know. These verses talk about our existence as children, yet growing into adulthood, spiritual adulthood. And as we reach spiritual adulthood, that is transformation. I use that term, but people use many other terms to describe the process of transformation. It is as simple as a life changed, a life transformed. All of my life, through many different spiritual paths, I have heard people talk of how discovering the reality of the love of God in their lives has resulted in life transformation. And I believe this is very significant on this afternoon as I ponder all the many years, all the many messages that I've heard about Easter through the years. And it may be that we have different points of view as to what that message means to each and every one of us. But today, again, I want to find that common ground of love, a place where we can begin, a place where we can begin the discussion, even if we diverge into a diversity of belief. Love is that thing that we hold in common. And now, just to continue what I do view as a very calm and reflective time today, not asking difficult questions as we often do on this program, but focusing on those things that are really speaking to our spirits. I'm now going to read Mark 12, 28 through 29. Or actually through 31, Mark 12, 28 through 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. In reflecting upon these verses, what is so very pivotal to me is contemplating the omnipresence of God. Because indeed, these commandments are one. When you view God as omnipresent everywhere in each and every one of us, when you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, by default, you also love your neighbor as yourself. And I find it fascinating, at least in this translation, that it speaks of these commandments almost as one. There is no commandment greater than these. They're both great commandments because they're reflecting upon a very similar thing. You can certainly love that aspect of the Creator that is transcendent, that you view as the Creator. But I feel that we must never forget just how all-encompassing our Creator is. And so that has a very real influence on what this verse is telling me. And certainly that's the way that I'm interpreting the verse. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about God's omnipresence. And these verses come from Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. We're all at different places in our spiritual journeys. And I know that it is common for many to doubt that there's any greater reality at all. Or if you do believe in one, just what is its nature? For me, when we contemplate the omnipresence of God and when we combine that with the realization that God is love, no matter how we choose to label God, some people call God God, some people call God the universe, some people say spirit. People have many different ways of referring to God. And yet, many of us share this realization that God must indeed be love. Not everyone. Because you do have to come to terms with the darkness in the world. And I do think that Psalm 139 has a lot to say about that, as to begin to find a way to reconcile why there is this darkness, and is it separate from the reality of the divine? And, you know, on this show, we have had several shows where we have asked very anguished questions about the darkness. It's one of the most difficult questions that anyone can ask on this planet. And that's when faith comes in. That's when love speaks. That's when we can choose to be lost in the despair of the darkness, where we can choose to even empower the darkness and give it far more power of us than it truly deserves. We can choose to be in fear about the darkness, or we can choose love, plain and simple. We can choose to trust. If I might put it in the words of Rob Bell, who wrote a very popular book, love wins. Can we choose to trust that love wins? There's another verse that I've been contemplating lately. It's one that since we've mentioned Rob Bell, and there was an entire show discussing the book that he wrote, which expresses a Christian universalist viewpoint. And during that show, I think I mentioned a verse that I didn't have right in front of me. It's a verse that often Christian universalists use to justify the salvation of all of mankind. Now, from my perspective, I've been looking at this verse in an even broader context. And so I want to reflect upon this verse next in this quiet time of contemplation. 1 Timothy 4:10. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Now, this is a very fascinating verse, and for this show where we're not going to raise contentious arguments, so to speak, I'm almost hesitant to bring it up, but I'm going to try to look at it in the most loving, broadest of ways, and I will let its interpretation be mostly left to those who are listening. But it is fascinating that what this verse appears to say is that the living God is available to all people, and yet there's a special gift that those who believe receive. And from my point of view, that special gift is a life of far more peace than if you don't believe in the living God. Now, I know on this Easter, there are many different ways of viewing the living God. I have attended a diversity of Easter services in my life, and, you know, there are ways of viewing the living God outside the realm of Christianity as well. But what's really interesting about this verse, outside of the Christian universalist approach to it, is how it emphasizes why discovering faith, discovering belief within our lives can have such powerful meaning to our journeys. Ultimately, I have faith that everyone will discover the joy of knowing the reality of the divine. And it is my wish that could happen as soon as possible. However, everyone is on their own journey. I certainly have not been free from doubt. I don't claim to know all the answers, but that's when I fall back on my faith. And that faith gets ever stronger. And the more that I rely upon it, the more peace I experience in my life, and the more hope there is, placing hope in the living God. Now I'm going to transition over to Revelation 21. The earth right now is going through a process of transition. No matter how you choose to label it, and there are many different belief systems contemplating what's going on with the earth right now. And what's interesting is that many of them do share the idea that many of the hardships in the world right now, whether it be financial, whether it be the dramatic weather, earthquakes, the tsunami, even volcanoes in some parts of the world, all of these things, the strife that is occurring in many parts of the world. Now, granted, all of these things have happened in other ages. It's very difficult to say whether we truly are at a point in our history, whether we're ready to transcend beyond them. I happen to have faith that that is indeed what is occurring right now, that the time has come for us as a species to be uplifted to an entirely new level. And that belief does transcend belief systems. The only thing that is different is the means with which you reach that transformation and the specific beliefs around them. However, the transformation itself of the planet is shared among several belief systems, even ancient systems of belief, such as the Mayan prophecies that are becoming so commonly repeated, although you rarely hear them talked about in depth, but you certainly hear them referred to as we stand on the brink of 2012. Certainly within Christianity, there's the concept of the end times, and we did a show a while back where we talked about the end times and the beginning times, and that you don't have the end without the beginning. And what's fascinating about that is that was true of the Mayan prophecies too. Within Islam, there are many people looking to a new age, and they believe that there would be a time of strife before this new age dawns. They may not call it a, quote, new age. And as many of you who have listened to this show before knows, I've had a very diverse journey. It's very hard to label exactly what my belief system is, but many people would say that I'm a new ager. Of course, I would say that many of us are new agers in the sense that we do believe a new age is dawning on this planet. We just may not call it that. Some people call it heaven on earth. But coming back to Revelation 21, I wanted to talk about this verse because to me, it is one of the most beautiful, hopeful verses within all the prophecies of Revelation. I'm starting in verse 3. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." As I contemplate what I like to call the New Age, although I've also been known to call it heaven on earth or the new earth, this verse is meaningful within multiple contexts. This verse is telling us that there will be no separation from the divine. God will be consciously with us, and we will reach a point where we will transcend the troubles of the old age. In New Age circles, this is called an evolutionary leap or a quantum leap, but we don't have to call it that way because the same concept exists in other systems. Now, some people will say, well, one version of this is counterfeit and the other is the truth. And I understand where people are coming from when they say that. But again, this show today is about common ground, not about labeling counterfeit versus true. This is about finding the same information coming from different places. Even if you're a person who believes there's only one path, only one very specific path to God, It is my hope that you would be hopeful in realizing that the message of this verse is reaching multiple people. Even if you may think that there's a particular resolution that needs to take place, I would hope that you could have hope in that. Instead of judging it and saying, that is not exactly the truth, that's a variation on the truth that I don't agree with, I think that more of us should begin to see the hope in people discovering the truth in different ways, even if you may feel that this needs to lead to more uniformity. Many of us don't believe that it has to lead that way. However, again, this is a show about common ground. This is a show about finding hope, finding that that love is reaching out to everybody in different ways. And I hope that we can at least agree on that, that love is indeed reaching out to all of us in different ways. Now I feel like I would like to talk about Matthew 5, which is known as the Beatitudes, starting in verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I think I'll stop it right there at verse 10. But what I want to reflect upon here, number one, there's a lot of persecution going around in the world. There's a lot of criticism. I have not been immune to this on either the giving or the receiving end, although I would prefer not to call it persecution exactly, but we certainly can be critical of other belief systems. This becomes a challenge when we want to just authentically express what we believe. We don't want to be shut down from our authentic expression of our own personal journeys and belief, but at the same time, we want to do it in such a way that we're respectful, that we're not persecuting others or even appearing to persecute others. I've written a lot online about authentic thoughts that I've had about many beliefs that certainly have been questioned and at times very harshly criticized. And so I know what it feels like to be on the receiving end of that. And I know that people of many beliefs have claimed and certainly have experienced a degree of persecution. And I think what we really need to focus on here is, what can we do to be peacemakers? What can we do to be called children of God and be peacemakers? And what we need to do is focus on that unconditional love that I talked about at the beginning of the show. We may at times feel that we need to express our authentic views, and I will be the first to say there should be nothing wrong with that. We need to find a place where we can talk about our honest, even anguished questions from our own journeys, while at the same time having that goal of being grounded in the love of the divine and trusting that God can transform our lives, transform the very discussion, if we are willing, such that we will all be coming from the standpoint of being peacemakers. And so I think what I'm going to do is end the show on that note. Since it's just me talking today, I don't feel I need to go on and on for an entire hour. I hope that these verses that I shared with you today on this Easter afternoon have been meaningful to you in your own way, whatever you choose to believe. And I wish everyone out there, whether a Christian or not a Christian, a peaceful Easter. And may the true love of God reach out to you today and touch and transform the moments of your life, moment by moment by moment. And as each moment is transformed, a life will be transformed as well.
This is Susan Laris and Dan's live with you now again. That was a rebroadcast of a show from Easter 2011. And I have been reflecting on the words as much as any other listener today. And I just wanted to share with you live yet another thought that came to me as I was listening. Something I don't think that I talked about back then. First of all, though, I must say that I feel even more committed, and I think many of us are even more committed to finding ways to have dialogue. That show from 2 years ago closed on a very powerful note in that respect, and I think it's even more important today. Clearly, we got past the 2012 milestone that I talk about in that program. Back then, it was still early 2011. And, you know, here we are in 2013, and we still have this world that is in great need of healing and transformation. And in many ways, that transformation is in progress, and we are seeing it. But there was something else that I wanted to share. Just a few more verses that I feel are important, that I feel really give us the keys to what is possible. And the first verse I want to share is Psalm 82:6. And that verse says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That is Psalm 82:6. Then I'd like to share John 10, beginning in verse 33. We'll see how long I go since we only have a few minutes left. Verse 33 of John 10. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he had called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. That is John 10, 33 through 38. And it's actually a fairly challenging passage for people to study when you reconcile it with Psalm 82:6. And without getting into the debates over these particular passages that have taken place, because there are many ways that people have tried to interpret them, I really want to focus on the aspect that I feel is most important, that we are all children of the Most High. And also that Jesus reaffirmed that in John. And if I can leave this rebroadcast and these additional thoughts about Easter, if I could talk about anything today that is of utmost importance, it is recognizing the omnipresence of God. Even those of us who do not believe in God at all, even if we don't want to or choose to see that. I've had portions of my life where I wasn't exactly an atheist, but I shut down. And, you know, I found myself in this past week reflecting upon the whole concept of being an agnostic or being an atheist. So often, what we can't believe in is some definition of God, not necessarily the mystery of whatever God may be. God is so undefinable, although so many of us attempt to define God. And yet, even when expressed in so many words in ancient texts, God still remains a mystery. Earlier in the broadcast that I replayed, there was talk of 1 Corinthians 13, and we see things incompletely now. And that is true in many spiritual traditions. So something else I realized is that when we choose to doubt about God, a lot of times it's actually an act of conscience. And that really came through to me recently, is that we reflect upon the suffering in the world. And there are many atheists who simply cannot reconcile that with any kind of higher power. And it is without a doubt the most challenging aspect of our reality to come to terms with why there is so much darkness in the world. And the only way that I have ever been able to reconcile it is by realizing that this is a place of free choice and that we were given that freedom here. And depending on how you believe we came to be here, you can also say we gave ourselves that freedom from the highest of levels when you really reflect upon what it means to be part of the omnipresent God. And I know this gets a little controversial as well, but I actually view this as fairly complex, that there is a transcendent part of our Creator that has a kind of separateness. It doesn't mean that as special individuals living on this planet right now, I know how to go out and create a tree. And it is no kind of challenge to God either. It is simply recognizing the omnipresence, which is a mystery. How can the infinite be within my heart, be within your heart, be within everyone's heart? How can that omnipresence of the divine be everywhere, and yet we only know in part, because we are special creations. We are children of the Most High, and the more that our awareness expands, we can become more conscious of those higher levels. So here I am expressing my personal belief, and yet I do call people listening to really reflect upon the omnipresence of God and what that actually means and the mystery of those words. What does it mean for God to be everywhere, including in you? Ultimately, to me, it is truly the path, truly the key to transformation. And that is what I choose to celebrate today. I choose to celebrate that hope that we are all capable of transformation on this planet, that we can indeed heal this planet because of the omnipresent, the all-present divine from which nothing and no one can be separated. Because if you could be separated from it, then it would not be omnipresent. And so that's where my hope lies. And that's where unconditional love reaches every one of us. That's where the miracles arrive. That's where amazing things can happen upon your path, amazing synchronicities, things that you just can't explain. It's that love. It's that omnipresence reaching out to each and every one of us. So I'm going to end today's program on that note. I hope that you did appreciate the rebroadcast from a couple years ago. I think this is the first time I have ever replayed a show, and I had to share it with you because back then the audience for this show was much different, and it was something that I found touching my heart, and I just wanted to share it with all of you. So once again, thank you for being here today. And I hope that you all experience peace within your spirits, wherever this show finds you, whether on Easter or another day. That's what I hope for all of us, that we may find that omnipresent peace, that omnipresent love, that omnipresent hope that truly binds us all together. For at our very core, we are inseparable from love itself. Thank you again for being here.